Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. It's December 18th, 2015. It's 8 a.m. on the East Coast. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from Central West Virginia. I want to get into our scriptures today, the book of John. The book of John, asking the question, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? The Word of God says in John, starting with John 5, 6, which we'll go back to the first chapter in a minute, but when Jesus saw him lie, talking about the man with the infirmity, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Ask this man a question. Psalms 107:20 says, and he sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning, and the root of all sickness and disease is sin. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Pray the Lord anoints the Word of God today. By the way, our email address is truthintheword777@gmail.com. That's truthintheword777@gmail.com. We have a stage set here where Jesus is going to work one of his many miracles. The Bible begins in John 5:1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Note that this could possibly have been the Passover, a Jewish feast meant a time of appointment. This was also a place in the holy city where Jesus received most of his opposition. He said in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stones them, are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. This is, as we talked in the last show, this is pure rejection of the Son of God. John 5:2 says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. This is the sheep gate that's spoken about that was rebuilt in the book of Nehemiah. This is one of the 12 gates of the great wall of the city of Jerusalem. Now, Bethesda means house of mercy, where sick people laid waiting on their miracles. It was a type of a public infirmity where people without hope would gather around hoping for a miracle. This particular pool, the Word of God declares, had five porches, which is like a pentagon. But we want to focus today on the people waiting around this pool, a public infirmity, those with infirmities, those with sickness, those with chronic illnesses that probably by most of society has been given up on a long time ago, is just dying in their situation and dying in their circumstance. But for this particular man that we're going to talk about, life enters into him and miracle enters into his life. Hebrews 4:15, I'll repeat what we read before, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All of us today are waiting on an infirmity in our life to be healed. All of us have, to use a Greek term, an Achilles heel, that which is a weakness in our life, that which we desperately need God to touch. This man was desperate. The Word of God declares he had been there some 38 years to that effect. But an infirmity is a physical or a mental weakness. A physical or a mental weakness. Man sick of body, sick of soul. Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord spoke through Isaiah and said, "You are sick from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet." Without Jesus Christ, we are undone today, as we talked this past week about how Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, which I believe was an incarnation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our healer, our deliverer. Isaiah 53:5 says, wounded for us by his stripes, healed, chastised for our peace of mind. We were healed by his stripes, and the chastisement was upon him for our peace of mind. John 5:3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. This gives a description of the condition of the people that laid and waited for a miracle in their life. They waited for the troubling of the waters. Impotent means one is unable to take effective action. That one which is helpless, powerless, cannot help themselves, constantly dependent on somebody else. The word halt means a limping or a crippling disease. And withered means that which is paralyzed. But these people waited. Actually, they didn't have a whole lot of choice. They waited upon the Lord. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." Those that wait upon the Lord, those that trust him, those that cast all their cares upon him because he cares for us. He says, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is the word of God. And I'd rather stand on the word of God than anything that a man says, because the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall never, ever pass away. Christ is the living water. Christ is the living water. And the word of God says in John 5:4, "For the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." This is not given, many say, by John as a fable or a myth, but was actually a fact. John 4:10 says, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that say to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of me, and he would give thee living water." This is the woman at the well that was undone. That Jesus come upon. The word of God says that Jesus said, "I must go to Samaria." He had an appointment. Jesus was here for the Passover, but that man that laid sick at the gate for years and years, sick at the pool for years and years and years, was going to get his miracle. This was his appointed time. This is what he was waiting on all of his life. The word of God says in John 4:13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but if you drink of the water that I give you, then by no means will you ever thirst again." Because the word of God says, "I give you that water that comes out of the well of everlasting life." John 5:5 says, "And a certain man which was there, which had an infirmity 38 years, this man waited for the troubling of the waters." The word of God says he had an infirmity. In Luke 13:11, we find a woman with an infirmity. This is a woman who was bent over for years, and the word of God declares, "Behold, there's a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Jesus came and he said, 'Woman, thou art loosed from your infirmities.'" Immediately, the religious crowd started to come against him because he was doing this on the Sabbath day, just as he healed this man here on the Sabbath day. Little did they realize that they were looking at the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the Sabbath. He's not a day. He's not a Saturday. He's not a Sunday. He's not a Monday. He is the Sabbath. Glory to God. And they come out against him, and he told him, he said, "Thou hypocrite, thou that not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years he loosed from this bond the Sabbath day, an appointed time for this woman." Remember what we said in that 1 John 3:8 said, "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He destroyed the works of the devil. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He was chastised for our peace of mind. He was healed for our, he took stripes on his back that we might be healed. Word of God says the man cannot help himself. It's just kind of like law versus grace. But he was about to meet up with the quickening power of Jesus Christ. Word of God says that he was without strength. In Romans 8:11 it says, "But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you." The quickening spirit. Adam was born, the Word of God declares, a living soul, but Jesus was born a quickening spirit. And that spirit dwells in us in the form of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God declares in John 5:6, "And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that situation, in that case, in that infirmity. And he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole." Jesus knows how long we've been in our hard places. Jesus knows how long we've been waiting for his touch in certain areas of our lives. And whoever hears this morning, I will guarantee you there's places in your lives that you need the Lord to touch, that you're weak. There's an infirmity in your life. You're vulnerable in that area of your life. No man is whole without the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now the enemy by no means likes this message that Jesus Christ heals. He certainly doesn't like the message that Jesus Christ saves and delivers and sets free. But that doesn't change the fact that it doesn't matter who preaches it. The Word of God says, the scribes and the Pharisees, "We are of our father Abraham." John the Baptist said, he said, of these rocks, God could raise up disciples or seed of Abraham. Matter of fact, the Word of God declares, if we don't pray, then the rocks will cry out. See, we're really not that important. my. God, who are we that God is mindful of us? We talked about that spirit of rejection, that arrogance that so many carry today, that so many carry in the religious community, that arrogant spirit that God actually needs them. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But we, by all means, need him. We're not healed without him. We're not saved without him. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what works you've completed in your life or what you say you've built. You've built nothing. The man that laid back one time and he said, "Oh, I'm going to lay my back and take ease." He said, I've built all these barns. I'm going to tear down new ones because I'm growing at such a great pace." Word of God declares, the Spirit of God says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our position in society, by the card we carry in our pocket, by the titles that men put on us. We are not saved by these things. We are saved by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why it's almost impossible for a proud man to receive the touch of God. But make no mistake about it, a proud man will feel the wrath of God. Because that's rejection. That's rebellion. And rebellion is as a spirit of witchcraft. Go on here. In John 5:7, "The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I was coming, another stepped down before me." This was the isolation of this man. See, this is what the enemy does. He'll isolate us. The Word of God said, "I have no man." We cannot by no means lean upon the arm of flesh. We must lean upon the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He pointed out the fact, I have no man to help me in the water. Man will let you down. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and on him crucified. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. If your eyes is on men today, if your eyes is on preachers today or teachers or anybody that's in the fivefold ministry, if your eyes is on a denomination or a particular church, you will not make it, because that thing that you have your eyes on will fail you. Denominations were formed by man. Show me a denomination in the Bible. Show me where God separated. Show me in Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of the New Testament church, where he designated certain people Baptists and certain people Methodists and certain people Assembly of God or certain people Foursquare Nazarene. Show me that in the Bible. Denominations were founded upon men. And most of the time, it's somebody getting mad and leaving a church. Just a point. The love of Christ coming to minister to this man as example of what he wants to do for all of mankind. This was this man's day. This was his appointed hour. When he woke up that morning, he by no means thought he would leave that pool that night walking. He was probably just resolute to his. He just given in. Well, I'm going to die this way. See, in Christ, we don't have to believe that. We can believe that quickening power of Jesus Christ can touch our lives today and change our lives, touch our minds, touch our body, touch our spirits, touch that inner man, cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood is the most powerful thing in the universe, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary over 2,000 years ago for the sins of men. And there's still power in that blood. We claim the blood. We invoke the blood. We'll never leave the blood. People say, well, it's a slaughterhouse religion. It doesn't matter. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That pure, untainted, guileless blood of Jesus Christ is still working today. We plead the blood of Jesus. We're guilty without the blood of Jesus, but when we plead it, we're made innocent. So what he wants to do for all mankind, meet us at our weakest point, my Lord. Meet us at our weakest point. Sometimes it's hard. Our pride doesn't let us go there. After all, we've been in the church for X amount of years. After all, we're card-carrying this or card-carrying that. After all, we've been to this Bible school. We've sat under this preacher. We've been involved in this ministry. We've seen miracles and wonders. Miracles can't save anybody. Signs and wonders shall follow those that believe. But miracles, as you see in the Word of God, people, the same people that Jesus worked miracles in their life, was probably some of them that yell, crucify him. Miracles won't save us. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can deliver us and set us free. This is where he wants to come today to our lives. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus said in 5:8, very short verse. Oh, how powerful. Wow. Jesus said unto him, rise. Take up thy bed and walk. He said, well, so what? 30-some years. 30-some years. 38 years. The Word of God declared that this man laid by this pool waiting on his miracle. How long have you been waiting? How long have you been waiting? You've been waiting for a certain man to come to town? Oh, if I could just get so-and-so to lay hands on me. It's not in the individual. It's in the man, Christ Jesus. One mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. There again, legs that haven't had strength for 38 years, muscles that were probably withered. But all of a sudden, the Word of God declares that in a moment of time, that this man who laid by this pool and waited and waited and waited and waited, Bethesda means the house of mercy, was waiting perhaps someday some man would help him into the troubled waters. Jesus never took him into the waters because he's the living water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers, my, of living water. He spoke the words. And when Jesus spoke, read the book of John, read it, his miracle, his wonderful miracle, starting with the Canaan wedding where he changed the water into wine. John 5:9 says, and not progressively, but immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked on the same day that was the Sabbath. Jesus is the Sabbath. We're not going to get into it, but if you read the rest of that chapter, boy, the religious crowd was mad. Listen, this man hadn't walked for 38 years. And they told him, what are you doing carrying your bed? Isn't that religion? Just overlooks the Spirit of God. Just overlooks everything that Jesus Christ is and points to their, and I might use their stinking laws and their stinking traditions that are causing men to err, so caught up in their own self-righteous acts. You'll read that they sought to kill Jesus Christ after this. He had healed a man. They were blinded. We talked about that in Isaiah, the last part of Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Because they rejected God. They rejected the Messiah. Matthew 9:6, but that he may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And saith he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. Mark 2:11 says, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go to the way of thy house. Now in Acts, we'll find after the great day of Pentecost, that the outpouring of the Spirit of God, that Peter was empowered with the Holy Ghost. And there was a man that laid by the gate called Beautiful, the Word of God says, collecting alms. And Peter said to him, in Acts 3:6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, my Lord, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't invoke Peter. He didn't invoke the church. He invoked the one who was ahead of the church. He didn't invoke their congregation. He didn't talk, well, this is so-and-so. This is deacon so-and-so. This is trustee so-and-so. This is reverend so-and-so. He invoked the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. The church is the church, and we need reverends. And we need the fivefold ministry. But we cannot focus on them. We cannot focus on them. We must focus on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I want to read you what Peter said again. Silver and gold have I none. We are not saved by the Word of God declares silver and gold, wood, hay, or stubble. Not even anymore by the blood of our farm animals, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, but such as I have. What did he have? He'd just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had just been endued with power that Jesus promised. And that power had, listen, the gifts didn't die out with the apostles. I mean, how foolish is that? How foolish is that to say that the gifts died out with the apostles? We'd be sitting in dead, empty sepulchers in our churches today if we did not allow the Spirit of God to move. But he had the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take up your bed and walk. And he did. And of course, the religious crowd got mad at Peter too. Like I said, the rest of this chapter is an ongoing confrontation with the Jews. In John 5:14, the Word of God says, after Jesus findeth him, the same man, he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. The Word of God declares in the book of James, be any sick among you, call the elders of the church and anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and their sicknesses and disease will be healed. If there be any sin in their life, it shall be forgiven unto them. Listen, sin is the root of sickness. We live in a fallen world, and sin's the root. Sin is the root, but Jesus Christ come to destroy the works of the devil. So if you're fighting that infirmity, maybe you've been fighting it for years, an ongoing confrontation with the physical problem, with the mental problem. You know, today, you know, the church anymore, you know, we don't care about praying for people that have a hangnail or a toe ache or a headache. But see, Satan afflicts people's minds. He oppresses and depresses. And Jesus Christ can set us free from oppression and depression. It's his word. He was chastised for our peace of mind. He is touched by our infirmities. So if you are fighting oppression and depression, the word of God tells me, think it not strange of the fiery trial which will try you. Don't think you're any less eligible to receive the touch of God. Don't think God's mad at you. He is here to heal you. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. He says, be anxious for nothing, but through everything, through prayer and supplication, may your needs be known unto God. And the God that gives us peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and keep your minds, keep you unto the day that we are redeemed out of this world. Trust him today. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, believe that God raised him from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father right now, asking to forgive your sins. Renounce every activity of evil. Let him forgive your sins and let him heal your body. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you know who's going to hear this today. You said your word would not come back void. As we've tried, endeavored, Lord, in our meager way to try to preach your word, and we cannot give it justice, but Lord, your word doesn't need a man to back it up, because it's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And we just ask you to touch every individual here to say, Lord, if they need salvation, I ask you to touch them, Lord, in a mighty way. I ask you to call on your name. Whosoever shall call on the name shall be delivered. Let them ask you into their heart in their own word. Ask them, let them ask you to forgive their sins. And God, that one that's fighting oppression and depression, you said you give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That spirit of heaviness has to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, encourage that one, Lord, that's been waiting for so long, that's about to give up. They might be just hanging on today by a thread. Let them hang on, Lord, and know that you will come unto them, that you will touch them. You'll not leave them the way that they are. In Jesus' name, we pray, touch and heal and deliver. This is Pastor Jim Newsom, and this is Truth in God's Word Radio. Once again, our email is truthintheword777@gmail.com. truthintheword777@gmail.com. Drop us a line. Give us your testimony. Give us your prayer requests. Listen, Jesus loves you. He loves you. By no means will he cast you out, and he'll help you. Call on his name today. Get your eyes fixed on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you.